you believe. Assault is an act, not an adjective. Your safety is not just on the gun, it is the gun. Freedom is a fundamental human right. Welcome to your show, Two-Way Radio with Bill Carnes. Your safety is your responsibility, not the government's, not anybody else's. Be a citizen, not a subject. Better yet, be a listener, because it's an inalienable right, not a privilege. The Two-Way Radio Show with Bill Carnes is live, right now. Call 1-800-313-9443.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. It's nice to be back in the home studio with my regular old bumpers. It's been a week or so. Thanks very much, everybody, for all of your emails from last week. It was a great time having Ed Winchester with me. Ed is probably my closest friend. Just a great guy. Very, very well read. And it's one of those things I tell people. Between Ed and I, we know everything in the world. If I don't know it, Ed knows it. If Ed doesn't know it, I know it. And the fact of the matter is, Ed probably knows a good three or four things more than I do. Just a great guy. And just hanging out with him last week was a lot of fun. We got a lot of cool things done. We got a lot of relaxing done. Couple of mimosas here and there, which, you know, you can't beat that with a stick. Just had a great time. And I appreciate all the kind of fun and jovial emails that we got in regards to that. One that actually came out, we finished last week. We were talking about the different go-to guns, if you're going to go with a specific caliber type of gun. When we talked about the 308s, we really pretty much settled on one gun, which was the M1 platform, the M1A, the SOCOM version, the Springfield. And I got an email, and I forget who it was from, one of my fairly regular guys. And he said, you know, you didn't even mention the FAL, the FAL. And I thought, you know, you're absolutely right. We didn't even mention the FAL. Part of the reason that it probably skipped, and I'm only guessing on this, is Ed and I have both shot these guns quite a bit, and they beat you up. Man, do they beat you up. Do you shoot a couple hundred rounds out of one of those things, and your cheek is just bruised up, and that's using all the right and proper techniques. That's a rough gun. However, yes, there's a lot of them out there. They work great. They are accurate. They do run wonderfully. If you can figure out a good cheek piece that you could put on that thing to where you can still get a proper cheek weld and it won't beat you up so bad, the FAL is yet another excellent 308 or 7.62x51 semi-automatic rifle that there are a number of them out there and they do operate quite well. HK91 is a good one. HK93 is a good one. All good guns. So we reviewed the 308s a little bit after the show, after that email, and in fact, this is the kind of the polish up. Yes, you're right. Probably my favorite 308 out there when it comes to being a promising gun right now is the new one that Kel-Tec came out with, and I forget the designation. It's like RFB, I believe. And it is a bullpup 308 that runs off of FAL magazines. I am a fan of bullpup guns when it comes to something that would otherwise be fairly heavy. I do have a bullpup and chambered in .223. However, an AR-15 is just fine. So is a Mini-14 if you can get one that's accurate. So not really that big a deal. But if you get a gun that's otherwise rather heavy, and most of these semi-automatic 308s are pretty heavy, you're not going to be having those things pointed in and laying down quite a bit of fire for any long period of time because they're heavy. They're very, very fatiguing. But this new Kel-Tec, and again, I think it's called the RFB, they're about $1,800, $1,900, $2,000, something like that, running off the FAL magazines. Forward ejection, they just seem very, very promising. When there's more of them out there, then it'll be a little bit more viable. But I'm actually thinking about maybe trying to save up to get one of those. More after the break. Stay tuned. I'm your host, Bill Carnes, back here at home on 2A Radio.
Rule 1, assume it's loaded. Rule 2, don't point it at anything you're not willing to destroy. Rule 3, listen to the 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes. 1-800-313-9443.
So I was reading recently that Obama's pick to run OSHA is another big anti-gun person. Yet again, flooding his cabinet, flooding his everybody that he picks with anti-gunners. And it made me wonder, over and above, I mean, what Obama's motivation is, we understand. What I really question are his means. Is this guy really trying to start a civil war? I mean, it's becoming a political war. And a perfect example to this is this whole thing now where we have everybody in Congress who's out holding these otherwise known as town hall meetings. And we've got people from every demographic and every socioeconomic class you can think of calling out against this socialized medicine. They call it health care reform. It is socialized medicine. And even though everybody's coming out against it, you still have members of Congress defending the idea. Then you have the Obama regime and Obama himself coming out and saying, no, that's a bunch of hype. People aren't looking at this properly, and in fact, the arguments are coming directly from the bill. So yet again, we have total misinformation coming out of Washington when we the people are having free rights and free reign to overlook this bill and scrutinize it because it does affect us. To take something that is 85% covered and change it to include the other 15% seems ridiculous to me. And let me put this into perspective. Let's say that a president, a sitting president, has an 85% acceptance ratio, approval rating, I should say. 85% of the people in America, the voting public, approve of a sitting president. Do you believe that that president should change their ways to appease the 15%? I don't think so. Because the other 15% may never get pleased. Now they say 85% of Americans are covered by healthcare. We're talking American citizens, not just people who happen to be here legally or illegally. 85% of Americans are covered by some form of healthcare, 15% or not. So they're looking to take everything, wrap it all up into a ball, flush it down the proverbial toilet, and come out with something brand new that is government controlled. And I don't believe it has really much of anything to do with healthcare itself. I truly believe it has to do with another way that the government can control us. Now, the Constitution was written to offer checks and balances to where the government cannot get out of line with we the people. Not so that we the people cannot get out of line with the government. It's to restrain the government, not to restrain the people. That's what the Constitution was all about. Our founding fathers would look and see where America has gone, where we as the citizens have gotten completely hosed by our representatives over the last 110, 120 years, where starting with Abraham Lincoln and his executive powers, his executive resolutions, executive orders, whatever you want to refer to them as, started those, and all the other presidents have followed along. They would look and see what a czar was back in Russia, the supreme leader back in Russia. And they would see where we started off with these czars back in the late 70s, where the administration that had the most number of czars was 5, and they were largely ceremonial, largely just representative. Now we've got possibly as many as 40 or 45 in this administration, completely usurping the authority of the Constitution, throwing the balance completely out of whack, the checks and balances. So, again, I wonder if Obama is looking to cause a civil war within the United States. I don't believe that this guy's stupid. I don't believe the people that pull his strings and make this goofy puppet, I don't believe that the puppeteers are stupid either. If they realize what they're doing is pushing the U.S. towards a civil war, there's a reason for it. There's something behind having a civil war in the United States, in this country, that they can benefit from. There is a plan in place for this. And this is just my thinking. This is just Bill Carnes having time to sit and kind of digest everything. I like to boil everything down and see what the common denominator is. When Obama announced that, you know, we're just 5 days away from completely changing the structure of the United States, or whatever it was, something I'm paraphrasing, he wasn't kidding. This country has a vastly different structure than it did just early this year, just the beginning of this year. Now, don't get me wrong, George W. Bush was no fantastic president, not by a long shot. I thought it was interesting when he won re-election in 2004. He stood up, you know, big and proud and happy and saying that, you know, I would buy more popular votes than even Ronald Reagan did. Well, you know, you were going up against the mascot for the New England Patriots. You didn't have much competition going against you. So it was, okay, you know what? There's no way we're going to let John Kerry in there. So let's vote for George W. It wasn't this massive, resolution sending to you, wow, you are the greatest. It wasn't that. Also, this country had quite a few more people and quite a few more registered voters than during the Reagan era. But it came back to haunt you in 2 years when you lost both houses of Congress in a midterm election and swept on through. And now we're having to deal with that. We're having to deal with the Republicans having ticked off the American public so much that both houses of Congress were lost during George W.'s second term and during the midterm elections, that now we have 4 years after we had, actually just right at about 3 years, where we had all Republicans running Washington. We now have all Democrats. So you can see how quickly things will change. Not that really any one is better than the other. I've said it before, and I still stick with it. My really big dream, or I shouldn't say big dream, what I really like is when both houses of Congress are split. It's not really too big a deal who the president is when we get that. If you have, say, the House of Representatives is Democrat and the Senate is Republican, I like that. And I like it when it's, you know, within maybe 5% heavy one way or the other. And they're split. Because you don't get much done. Which means we, the people, don't really get hosed. When the houses are all of the same ilk, and just by voting down party lines, the other party is completely unrepresented. The other party can't really do much of anything. Especially if it happens to be a president of the same party. Now, during the Reagan administration, you had Ronald Reagan as president, a Republican. But for his entire term, 8 years, both terms, he had Democratic-controlled Capitol Hill. Both houses were Democrats. And some ugly stuff came through, some decent stuff came through, but it was a struggle. If the houses were split, the House of Representatives and Senate were split, all the time, we would get hosed a whole lot less. That's where I'm a fan. That's just me. I believe that it would certainly stave off having any sort of a potential civil war going on in this country. I believe that the Obama administration, their regime, I should say, is fully aware of what they're doing. I believe they are fully aware of the possibilities of a civil war in this country. I believe that they are fully aware of the type of people who would be against the government and exercise their constitutional rights to reset the government. And that's why they're doing things such as targeting us as right-wing extremists or things such as that. They've got the media on their side, and there must be something in it for the media. There's always something in it for somebody who takes one side and never leaves. Chris Matthews off of CNN, probably the biggest flat-lipped jackass on the airwaves. I mean, this guy sucks. He'll ask somebody a question. Before they even get to answering it, he'll nail them on something else. He laughs about this whole birthers thing. And I got to tell you, Chris, if they're going to hold congressional hearings to decide whether or not John McCain was constitutionally eligible to run for president, having been born on a U.S. naval base in Panama, but not even look at the paperwork, which should be part of the basic idea for registering to run for the office of the president, you are trying to help to bury something. And you are a complete loudmouth jackass, and you deserve to get punched in the mouth. Just my 2 cents. There you go. More after the break, folks. Stay tuned. I'm your host, Bill Carnes, on 2A Radio.
Have the alcohol and tobacco. Leave the firearms to us. Right now, live, the 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes.
So MSNBC, no friend to gun owners, no friend to the truth, in fact, is at it again. Last Thursday, they were reporting on the people that were carrying guns in Phoenix at some sort of rally that Obama was doing. And what they did was they used deceptively edited video from this rally to kind of invent a radical stereotype in its ongoing efforts to really demonize and marginalize the American firearms owners as racist. There was a black man with a slung AR-15, but as it was reported, he was never given a race. Right? I'm going to read to you a little story here. Following the MSNBC coverage of Obamacare protesters legally carrying guns, gun owners condemned the liberal network MSNBC for using their deceptively edited videos from this Phoenix rally. As Newsbusters reported on Tuesday of last week, MSNBC correspondent Contessa Brewer, along with the morning meeting host Dylan Radigan and pop culture analyst Tautour, depicted all gun-carrying protesters as being white, as being racist, and even a threat to President Obama's life. Brewer cited one such gun-toting protester, but used highly edited video footage that did not reveal the man was actually African-American. After Politico.com picked up the Newsbusters item, an MSNBC spokesperson attempted to justify the slander and said, quote, Contessa was speaking generally and not about that specific person with the automatic weapon. First of all, it was a semi-automatic weapon. But Brewer did specifically cite an unidentified African-American man who attended a protest outside of Monday's speech by President Obama. He said, quote, yesterday as President Obama addressed the veterans of foreign wars in Phoenix, a man with a pro-healthcare reform rally just outside wore a semi-automatic assault rifle on his shoulder and a pistol on his hip. In a press release this last Thursday, the conservative group Americans for Limited Government called on MSNBC to fire all involved with producing a misleading broadcast. Imagine that. We don't have any friends. You and I, us. Regardless of your gender, regardless of your race, your religious beliefs, your political beliefs, the people listening to this show right now, and your host, we all have one thing in common, and that is firearms, the Second Amendment. That's what really binds this group together. Now, you could throw something else in the middle of that. Let's say that we talk about free speech. We might have a different idea on it. Then again, we might, again, all be the same. You know, we might talk about all kinds of different things, and the one thing that binds us all together is the Second Amendment, and basically just being able to provide self-defense for ourselves, defense for our family, safety and protection. When you have an organization that's able to get on there and just run 24/7 and run amok, MSNBC is one of them, the real problem with the First Amendment as written is it says freedom of the press. It's not freedom of the press to run amok, which is really the way they look at it. They say freedom of the press, and they interpret to run amok afterwards. It should be the freedom of accurate press. If the press is not accurate, it should not be aired, printed, or spoken. It's got to have at least over 50% legitimacy. If not, we are getting hosed by someone with an agenda or a group with an agenda that has the power of the media. And they take the sheeple, the people that just really aren't in tune with it, and what do they do to them? Well, they ransack them with this group of lies, this bunch of lies, all of this BS that they want to throw out there. Who's victimized? Well, really, it's the ignorant many, the ignorant populace who's victimized, because now they're getting a dishonest view. Now, to have a black man with a loaded AR-15 being very peaceable in Phoenix with a black president, well, now that's not something they want to show. They want to show this is a racist thing. They want to show it as an upcoming race war. I got to tell you, with all of those guns in Phoenix, something tells me that the president was probably never better protected. You're not going to show up waving your gun. How many people have ever fired at a president and was waving and displaying the gun out in public beforehand? The answer is zero. They're all hidden and looking to ambush. You don't do that. You're not of that ilk. You're not ready to start shooting at a president or anybody else if you're walking around very professionally dressed, carrying a gun out in the open. That's not the way you go about it. So stop trying to say that those of us who are gun owners that are exercising our rights are trying to threaten the president. That's not the way it is. Stay tuned. More to come after the break. I'm your host, Bill Carnes.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Radio with Bill Carnes, 1-800-313-9443.
I'd like to call out one of the biggest blabbermouth scumbags in the United States today, and that is Michael Bloomberg, who's the mayor of New York City. This guy walked into the job with several agendas, and he's one of these guys. He's been a Republican, he's been an independent, he's been a Democrat. Now he's just a socialist, and he happens to be a limousine liberal socialist sort of guy, just shooting his mouth off without really understanding what it is he's talking about. Why? Well, because he's been a very successful, incredibly successful businessman when it comes to stocks and such. The guy's got, I don't know how many hundreds of millions, even into the billions, with the Bloomberg report, all that other garbage. But the guy's just, he's a loudmouth scuzz. And he began a group called Mayors Against Illegal Guns. When in fact what it is it's Mayors Against Guns. Mayors Against Gun Owners. Okay, here's a little story for you. Since its creation, Mayors Against Illegal Guns, called MAIG, M-A-I-G, has signed up a large number of committed anti-gun politicians to its ranks. It has also signed up some politicians who failed to realize the true anti-gun nature of MAIG. A number of those mayors have resigned their membership when they learn the truth. This past week, yet another mayor, Village of Walton Hills, Ohio, Mayor Marlene, how do I pronounce this? Analiski, I believe, is a Republican. She's resigned her membership. Mayor Analiski informed the Buckeye Firearms Association in Ohio of her decision, reporting that she had not realized the real agenda of MAIG. In fact, she reported, she and her husband are NRA life members. So you can get the idea. Someone who's really walking both sides of the street here. You got someone who's pro-gun enough to be a life member of the NRA. So walking down that right side of the road. And then on the left side of the road, they're against illegal guns. I would venture to say that you would probably find just about every member of the NRA to be against illegal guns. Now, I'd also venture to say that a good portion of them say that certain guns that might be classified as illegal shouldn't be, but yet again, they are against illegal guns. More so, scumbags who are of the illegal ilk, people that don't follow the law, should not have guns. And this street-level black marketeer of thugs and street gangs passing guns around, nobody is for. Okay, so you can see where this lady, Marlene Analiski, God, that's difficult, A-N-I-E-L-S-K-I, Analiski. However, anyhow, this mayor is, she's obviously pro-gun, but doesn't want to have illegal guns on her streets. With the ongoing efforts by MAIG to mislead the public and even its own members on its true agenda, it's no surprise that some mayors are choosing to leave the group. How many more mayors don't know about MAIG and what it's really about? All NRA members should ask, is my mayor a member of MAIG? If you don't know, check it out. There's a list at the NRA. You can go to NRA.org and see. If your mayor is on that list, you can contact his or her office and politely let them know that you are opposed to their membership in Mayor Bloomberg's anti-gun organization of MAIG. They are not anti-illegal guns. They're anti-all guns. I shouldn't say they're not just anti-illegal guns. They're anti-all guns. Bloomberg believes that the United States should be gun-free. Bloomberg believes that the United Nations should be allowed to come in and dictate to us what our gun policies are. Mayor Bloomberg believes that the Second Amendment does not apply to individuals. Mayor Bloomberg believes that he should be allowed to stand up and quote exactly the way the rest of the United States should be on guns, over and above just New York City, where he actually has some authority. Mayor Bloomberg believes he's in the right when he sends these henchmen out to other states to buy guns and then try to file lawsuits on these gun shops and try to get them closed down, because whoever bought these guns could bring them back to the streets of the cities of New York City. Mayor Bloomberg is out of touch. And this guy's just a jackass. Total jackass. I have no respect for a guy that gets so high in his hog for a simple issue that he has a personal agenda on. And he believes that he can use his big fat mouth and his money to be able to go do it. Or this guy, he actually testifies in Congress on a regular basis. How is he able to do this when you and I are not? He's got money. And with that money buys influence. And with that influence gets him to be able to be allowed to spout his fat, blabbering stench hole at the congressional level. Now, is that fair? Is that fair representation? No, this goes back to the original sort of representation, where the only people that were allowed to vote or deal with anybody who had anything to do with the House of Representatives or the Senate were wealthy white landowners. So that's what we've got. We've got a wealthy white landowner that's able to use that to go and speak in front of Congress a few times every single year. Because he's the mayor of New York City, he's got money in his pocket, and he's got a fat stink hole that just blabbers on about anti-guns, which is obviously a hot button issue in this country. You know, I read a piece over the weekend. And this piece that I read had something to do with, should we just eliminate every single gun law on the books and start from scratch? You know, let the people who want to pack and carry and defend themselves, let them do that. And then those who would be scumbags and try to bring harm on those citizens who are packing, and see how things iron out. Really, pit the good guys in society against the bad guys of society. Because the bad guys of society, folks, I was a cop. I was a cop in Vegas, in the inner city areas of Vegas. And I gotta tell you, you get one of these street thug gangbang wannabe human beings by themselves, and they're just a little wuss. They really, there's nothing behind them. You even get two of them together, and they you know, break bad a little bit, but it's not like when you get a whole group. So there's strength in numbers with these guys. Individually, they tend to be just a bunch of wussy scumbags. Really. They really do. That's what it tends to be. So you put these wussy scumbags up against righteous people, and who's gonna be victorious here? Well, certainly numbers are gonna help. And there's a whole lot more righteous people in this country than there are these street scumbags, the people that would turn you into a victim. All right? So if we eliminate all the laws, and everybody who wanted to pack was allowed to pack, and they didn't have to go get some frickin' permission slip. They didn't have to go spend money to get a license to carry out their Second Amendment right, which is inalienable and shall not be infringed, which has been alienated and infringed upon. The Seventh Circuit, here's a good one for you. The Seventh Circuit out of Chicago, the same group that upheld Chicago's gun ban, which flies in the face of the Heller decision of about 14 months ago, has recently come out just this last week and said, you know what? Gun registration, mandatory gun registration, is not unconstitutional either. Let me whip this out real quick here. Amendment number 2. Well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Let me ask you, if you register something with some government agency, who controls it then? If they call the registration due, or if they say, you know what, that is some of these things that you have registered, we have deemed to be no longer legal for you. So since it's on our books, you're going to have to turn it into us. Once it's registered, who does it really belong to? That's anything. Your car, your gun, you know, your cell phone, if you had to register that as a communications device. It's whoever you register it with, really, can drop the hammer at any time. I'm not a gun registration kind of guy. I'm not. When I lived in Las Vegas, in Clark County, Nevada, they register handguns. And the law was, up until recently, that you had 72 hours to register a handgun. So if you were coming out to Las Vegas, let's say that you were staying in Las Vegas, in Clark County, and you were back and forth out here into Nye County doing some gun training, and say it was a 4 or 5 day class that you're out here for, you're here for 4, 5, 6 days, including some travel time and some downtime. You were literally breaking the law by not going down to the police station and registering your handgun if you're going to be here for more than 72 hours. The law's changed. It's now 45 days. You have 45 days to register your handguns. I know a guy who lives in Nye County, works in Clark County, and when he was a construction guy, he got off the job, and he was moving some stuff around in his truck. One of the things he moved was a Glock pistol in a holster. And he took it out of the car, rested it up on the cab of the truck, was moving some stuff around, put it back. Somebody saw it, and somebody called the cops. So here comes Las Vegas Metro coming out there. Oh, we understand you have a gun in the car. Yeah, what of it? Well, we need to see it. For what reason? Well, we understood there's a person with a gun. You fit the description. This is what we said. You said you have a gun. We need to see the gun. So they take the gun. They look at it. And they said, where's your registration? They call it a blue card because it's literally a little bit bigger than a business card. And it's blue. So they call it a blue card. Where's your registration for this? Well, it's not registered. Okay, well, this thing needs to be registered. You need to go to the sheriff's office in Nye County and get a blue card, is what they told him. The cops in Vegas don't even realize that that's the only county in the entire state that registers any kind of gun whatsoever. And the reason that it got changed from having a 3-day registration to 45 days was they were trying to grandfather clause away the state inclusion in Clark County. Here's the thing. When Nevada became a shall-issue state back in 1997, they said that no counties or cities can pass more restrictive laws. All the laws are going to be at the state level. However, anything that's on the books now, we're going to allow to stay there. And there were three main things on the books, all of them out of Clark County. One was Clark County registers handguns. The other one, the city of North Las Vegas, has restrictions on carrying guns and having them in your cars. There's provisions, but there's restrictions. And in Boulder City, the same thing. Boulder City's even more restrictive. So there was two years ago, at the state level, there was a proposed law that was put together to exempt all of that crap from those three laws in Clark County and make it all state preemption. It met some resistance. So what they did was they amended it a little bit. One of those amendments was 45 days to register a handgun in Clark County, not 72 hours. The best thing would be if the Clark County commission would actually stand up and say, you know, it doesn't really do anything for us. Just get rid of it. But no, we might have to still go to the state level and fight. You probably hear me rambling on about all this kind of stuff. It sickens me that people take anything in the Constitution and heavily regulate it when it says it can't be regulated or infringed. Shall not be infringed. How is registration not an infringement? You know, there's two people that know all of the information on all of the guns that I have. That's me and my insurance agent. And I told my agent, I know my agent well enough. Well, I told her, you can hold on to a copy of this when it comes to, you know, serial numbers and descriptions and such. But I do not want this put into a computer which is accessible by the masses. Please find a way to make a policy for me on my guns where it's put in there, you know, held with the agent when it asks for things like serial numbers. And you hold on to it, and you hold on to it in a secured file. And if you ever leave and turn your accounts and things over to someone else, I need to know first, because I'm not going to leave this with somebody I don't trust. So there's only two people who truly know all of the guns that I own. That's me and my insurance agent. And there was a lengthy interview process between my insurance agent and I before I did that. Part of the reason was I had a gun stolen that I had at my workplace when the workplace got broken into many years ago. And I went to file a claim at my insurance company, and they said, well, we don't have a gun rider policy for you. I said, well, I signed up for one. Well, no, you didn't. Well, yes, I did. If you guys failed to put it in there when I went to sign up for it, then that's your fault. I can prove to you that I did. Go through your paperwork, and you will find a spreadsheet of all of my guns and all of my serial numbers. Do you have that? They called me back and said, yeah, we have that. Then my question is, why on earth would I ever submit that information to you or anybody else if I didn't have a gun rider policy? They couldn't answer it. All they did was apologize for messing up. Still told me that I couldn't, that gun wasn't insured, but they'd write me a new policy. I canceled every policy I had and found myself a new agent. Canceled, I think I had 4 vehicles, a house, all kinds of garbage with this company, and I canceled every single bit of it because of the way they mishandled my account, found a new agent. Anyhow, there you go. Those are my thoughts out of the riot of the day. Stay tuned. There's one more segment to go. I'm your host, Bill Carnes, on 2A Radio.
Right to listen and take action shall not be infringed. 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is back. 1-800-313-9443. Uncle Sam taught him to shoot
maybe a little too well. Finger on the trigger, loaded. All right, folks, I'd like to take this opportunity to really thank Ed Winchester for sitting in with me last week. Ed has always been a very good, true friend. As a matter of fact, I often refer to him as the judge, because he has a very good grasp to be able to see the other side of a story. And you folks know as well as I do that when I get my mind set on a specific topic or subject, or I get a position, that I'm pretty well, damn well dedicated to that. Oftentimes, if I'm faced with some sort of decision, I'll actually call Ed and bat it around a little bit, and he's very good at giving me the alternate opinion. The one thing that drives me a little bit nuts, though, is when I just make a blanket statement, just as a jovial thing, Ed will often take it and give me the retort from the other side. It's like, dude, just chuckle a little bit about it, will you? But Ed's a great guy. His wife, Paula, is as wonderful as can be. As a matter of fact, I asked Ed and Paula if they could come up with a way to where Paula could put together a how to be a rock star wife sort of class for people, because she's just the most wonderful person. It just goes above and beyond. She's such a wonderful hostess and just so nice, and I don't know, she just loves life. She's just a wonderful woman. It's great to be around the two of them. It's a lot of fun. And to be able to hang out with Ed, get up in the morning, wake up, first thing I see is Ed sitting up there at the computer ready to go. We're sitting there ready to do this thing on the radio, which I have asked Ed many, many times if I'm not able to do the show, if he'd be willing to sit in and kind of be a guest host. I'm not so sure, you know, I'd have to do a lot of research. I'm like, come on, man, just help me out. So we did together, maybe we can do this. As a matter of fact, Ed and I will be filling in for Dave Champion on the Dave Champion Show today at 1 o'clock Pacific, 3 o'clock Central. And the topic on today is going to deal with energy, kind of the energy situation we've got going on here in the United States and how we're so dependent upon foreign sources for this energy. So it's really a discussion on that. It's pretty entertaining. I believe that it will be enlightening for some. And so tune in today, 3 o'clock Central time, to the Dave Champion Show. You'll hear Ed and I on there. But again, I really want to, I thank Ed and Paula right now in front of God and everybody. I really thank you for being such wonderful friends. Great host last week. I mean, it was a fun time. It really was. Just being able to hang out at the house, hang out on the beach, lose as many pairs of sunglasses as I did. I still don't know where the hell all my sunglasses went. One of them somewhere's out in the Pacific. I got hammered out there playing in the waves. There's probably another pair or two hanging out around their house or in the car or something. I don't know. I drove home squinting until I found an old crappy pair in my car yesterday, or Saturday, I guess. But anyhow, just a wonderful, wonderful time, and they're great people. So with that being said, Ed and Paula, I love you. Thanks very much. Now to my normal closing comments. I'd like to close by saying, to those of you within our government, we will be watching you. In Congress, the executive and judicial branches all very closely as we organize to save our freedom, liberty, and country. We will not become the subjects of governmental rule. Stay tuned for an encore performance of Ed Winchester and Bill Carnes on Dave Champion's show today.
Bill will be here tomorrow. Will your freedoms? The 2A Radio Show, 7 a.m. Pacific, 9 Central, Monday through Friday.